The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium. And opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium. Black Talk Radio News. Scotty Reed in from behind these enemy lines on this mic. Today's day is June 16th. It is a Thursday afternoon, and it is a very hot day here in North Carolina. It's like, you know, agitating, you know, if you're going to be outside, or it's just agitating. But also, let me just say this. If you are in the listening audience, I know we got some listeners in Charlotte, in that area. Did you see any UH-60 military, probably National Guard or Army Reserve? There was a formation of about 10 to 12 UH-60s, or UH, they're known as Hueys as well, flying in formation towards Charlotte. I tried to get some video. It was too late. They came in a low flight pattern. Therefore, you didn't hear the sound till they got right up on you. They were right above us, man. And nobody had their phone in their hand, or I didn't have my camera in my hand, so I didn't get no video of it. But I was just reminded when I was living in Charlotte for a period of time, because that's where it seemed they were headed towards. I do remember getting up one morning. I think I was either catching a bus to go to school, because I was going to community college in Charlotte at the time. And I started seeing UH-60s, hearing gunfire and all of that kind of stuff. This is in an urban, you know, city, in the city. Charlotte, pretty big city. Almost 1 million people live there now. I don't know how many, you know, back then. So anyway, then I found out later there was a training exercise. You know, they training for urban warfare. So if you're in the Charlotte area, you probably, especially if you was anywhere along Highway 16 going from Lincolnton to Charlotte, travel, lots of people travel that road. If they stayed on the path that they was on, you probably saw them. So I don't know if I'll hear any news reports later of any kind of training exercise, but I particularly took note because of all the rhetoric I'm hearing about fighting terrorism, and you know, the internet is aiding terrorists. I heard that from the CIA head. I think his name is George Brennan, holdover from the Bush administration, implicated in the CIA torture report that nobody's talking about, because we're all talking about the horrific terrorist attack that occurred in Orlando. All right, so I'm taking note of what's going on around me. So I'm wondering if that's related. They might be similar drills and what have you for a response. But, you know, still, I'm like, wow, SWAT team took 3 hours to respond? Why it take 3 hours for them to even get on scene? What was SWAT team doing? We know that they kicked down doors of citizens on a daily basis looking for quote-unquote illegal drugs and have killed quite a few people, unarmed people, people who weren't even targets of their arrest warrants, where they do these no-knock raids. And we know Ayanna Stanley Jones, even though that wasn't drug-related, and they was looking for her father, who was alleged to have been involved in the murder of a young man. You know, still, they just run up in these places. They run up, they didn't run up. Nobody ran up in that club like that. And so there are a lot of questions, lots of things to talk about in regards to that, because we need to be paying attention. Now, today I do want to talk more about that in terms of domestic policy, but also domestic terrorism. And I'm not talking about homegrown terrorists that politicians talk about. No, I'm talking about terrorists acting under the color of law. As a video was recently released this week, earlier this week on Monday, I believe it was published, where it shows a Chicago Police Department slave catcher stomping out a guy who had another slave catcher on his back, trying to, you know, subdue him and arrest him, but had him pinned down on the ground. And instead of this slave catcher, the second slave catcher, who appeared on the scene being confrontational with members of the community, and just goes up to the dude and stomps his head into the pavement. All right, knocks him out instantly. You know, concussion in the very least, if he doesn't have more serious problems and what have you. And that's the everyday terrorism that the United States government, whether it be the federal government, state governments, local governments, city governments, nobody is protecting the Black and Latino community from the everyday terrorism associated with 21st century slave catching and human trafficking. So that definitely caught my eye today. And, you know, nobody will be, you know, going out to hold any congressional hearings, but get ready to have some congressional hearings on the Orlando shooting, in which there should be. There should be. There have been questions about whether the State Department influenced the FBI when this guy was invested twice and saying, you know, lay off this guy, whatever, there's nothing really there, we don't want to appear to be targeting Muslims and whatnot. And so, you know, did that happen? Did that occur? Why was there such a failure? Why wasn't this guy red flagged in the system? I don't, you know, people start talking about, well, we need this and that legislation. There's stuff already on the book that could have prevented this. But let's take a look. You know, there are so many things to talk about here, but this is what's bothering me, though, is that these people, Trump, Clinton, President Obama, members of Congress, members of the Senate, they're part of the Congress. So, are posturing and talking about this is an attack on all Americans, and we got to bomb these other countries and commit, you know, more resources to the wars that we have been fighting since George Bush started some in 2001 and whatnot. But, you know, there have been no such hearings. There's been a presidential commission, but I mean, when you got a guy who is a chief in his city, a chief slave catcher, and who has a record of you know, brutality and stuff, and allowing it to go on under his watch and all of that. I mean, I don't put a whole lot into that presidential committee on police, whatever the hell they called it, except for terrorism. This is terrorism, you know. And I do agree that was a terrorist attack on the Orlando nightclub. It was, because the guy cited in the yet-to-be-released 911 call, but we know from one of the victims, Patience Carter, that he said that it was about the bombing of his country. So, I mean, if we look up the definition and apply the simple definition of terrorism, the textbook definition of terrorism, he used violence to terrorize the general public in order to bring about political change in some kind of policy or whatnot. What policy did he want change? He wanted the policy of the U.S.-NATO war in Afghanistan to stop. And he specifically mentioned the bombing, which tens of thousands of civilians have died from, and even more people die from the related, you know, different related stuff to war. He wants the war on, he can't say, well, he's looking at it as his homeland, even though he wasn't born there. Some people do maintain cultural roots and identify with where their parents came from or their ancestors came from. So he was technically an American, right? But he viewed Afghanistan as his country, because that's what he said. This is about my country. This is about the bombings of my country, which nobody is mentioning in mainstream media. I'm not seeing that. Have y'all heard that? Listeners out there that have been monitoring, you know, MSNBC, CNN, you know, I watched a little bit of Don Lemon. Of course, him and Anderson Cooper gonna take the gay agenda. And even though this wasn't a homophobic attack, now they're trying to twist it and say, oh, well, he, you know, was having conflicted feelings about his sexuality. It appeared that everybody knew this dude was gay. He had a gay dating app and whatnot. He might have struggled with that, but he did not mention homophobia or anything like that. I hate gay people, and the Bible says stone them to death and kill them and all that, or the Quran said that. He didn't say that. He didn't mention that as a reason for attacking that club. He probably attacked the club because he was familiar with it and it was a soft target. That's probably why he picked, but that's not the reason he gave. He gave one reason only, and that was the bombing of Afghanistan. And so all of this noise that I'm hearing out here in the media, whether it's online, whether it's on TV or whatnot, nobody's really talking about that specific fact. They're just not talking about it. And that should tell you something. Both Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton is trying to see who has the biggest set of balls on them, who can talk the toughest, and they're both calling for more bombings. This is the reason the guy cited. Not cause they hate you for your freedoms, not cause, you know, they're just evil and you're so good, and that's just how the universe works. There's this great war between good and evil. You know, nothing like that. Just as simple as U.S. foreign policy. Regime changes, overthrowing governments, destabilizing regions, referring to civilian casualties as collateral damage acceptable. You know, it's just really sick that people want to ignore this sort of thing and go off on all of these tangents where the evidence doesn't even lead. It doesn't lead to any kind of homophobia. It doesn't lead to any kind of religious doctrine. No, this guy had tried to join, they said, tried to join or had joined Pledge Allegiance in the past. And I still got to dig through them details, but said he tried to join Al-Qaeda, Pledge Allegiance to Al-Qaeda, Pledge Allegiance to ISIS, Pledge Allegiance to Hezbollah, I think, you know, which is actually a legitimate part of the government in Lebanon. Well, whatnot, but they said he tried to join. So he was like, really didn't know the different ideologies of these different various groups and whatnot. Seemed to be a troubled person who had violent tendencies coming up all through school and all of that. We know he wanted to be a police officer, but I don't know what set him off. I mean, had he been researching anything on the internet? Check his internet history. See if he was like reading Amnesty International reports and these other, you know, international human rights organizations reports on casualties in Afghanistan. See, that's in his browser history and whatnot. I'm willing to bet you it was, if you want to talk about what set him off. Now, they made a big deal about cracking the iPhone 6 or whatever, or the San Bernardino shooter and what have you. So, you know, what's on this guy's computer? I bet you it's that type of stuff. And he probably did visit some ISIS you know, propaganda online or whatnot, since these companies, these internet companies and ISPs providers, you know, are allowing these people access to the network, the government could shut all that stuff down if they so chose. They could. I mean, they spend, I don't know how much, I'm assuming hundreds of millions of dollars on cyber warfare. So what kind of hackers is working for the U.S. government that they can't take down ISIS fighters who are, you know, in undeveloped regions, undeveloped because they've been bombed out by the United States and NATO forces? So, I mean, this is just, it's just so many questions, man. And the mainstream media ain't doing nothing but leading the masses down a nationalistic program, you know, just programming them with, now all of a sudden we're all Americans. Well, y'all ain't never cared about Black and Latino people before. They're being targeted by the slave catchers of the day, the police, and you know, nobody is showing concern for that like they trying to show concern over, you know, this mass shooting, no matter how tragic it were. But I mean, just think about it. The slave catchers of America on a daily basis, on the average, are killing at least 3 people a day of all ethnicities and religions and whatever categories and labels we want to create for them, gay, straight, whatever. Police are killing them. All right. And many of them are not justified, just like this slave catcher in Chicago knocking this man out by stomping his head while he was defenseless into the pavement and knocking them out. These little acts of what will we call them, micro or macro aggressions, these are acts of terrorism. Why are they terrorism? Well, just like I laid out the definition for terrorism, they are enforcing a political policy. What is that political policy? Laws that politicians have put on the books. Let's not forget the laws that they have sworn to uphold all throughout their history. Straight up slavery and all its various different forms throughout the following 200 years. Pass a law, the politicians pass a law, no matter how unjust, no matter how inhumane, no matter how unethical, the police have always been there to enforce it. Haven't they? Always. And they have always enjoyed protection from prosecution when they kill a runaway slave or, you know, a potential slave today. That's terrorism. You're using violence to enforce a political agenda, which was to criminalize certain substances so that you can then put certain people that you're targeting, even though they are not the biggest demographic or the largest demographic using the drugs, but you target those Black and Hispanic communities and fill up the prisons with Black and Hispanic slaves. That's terrorism, man. That's a political agenda to practice slavery at the end of the day. And who's profiting? Government and corporations. Partnership. So, you know, I don't think the solution, and I'm not buying into the solution, is spending more money on more bombs and more bullets and missiles and drones and planes and tanks and helicopters, attack helicopters, and, you know, all these weapons. Who, you know, people stand to profit from this. And if you don't think the John McCain's, the Hillary Clinton's, the Republicans and Democrats, if you don't think that they don't have people, if you don't think that they're in the pockets of the military industrial complex, the corporations that produce the bombs, the bullets and stuff like that. The United States government doesn't manufacture not one single tank, not one single M16, not one single M203 grenade launcher. They don't manufacture any of that. Civilian corporations do. And they supply the entire world. I bet you U.S. corporations have the biggest market share of global arms trafficking than any other, than the Russians, than the Chinese. Chinese state, they probably, so we could say they make their own weapons because of their former government. Russia, you know, I'm not so sure if they're using civilian corporations to develop their weapons or if that's all run by the state. I can't say. But I don't think they have the market share that U.S. corporations have throughout the world. And it's all clear. These global arms trafficking deals are cleared through the State Department. That's why Hillary Clinton Foundation is under such scrutiny by sunlight organizations in examining their financials and donations of hundreds of millions of dollars and what have you. And then all of a sudden, weapon deals are getting approved by Clinton over at State, Hillary at State. So, I mean, this is where the Matrix is trying to program you to go towards. It's more war. They're calling for more war and you know, rally around the old red, white, and blue, old glory, as they call it, and whatnot, and just don't even ask any questions. Don't ask if this is justice or not. Don't ask if the bombings may have something to do with people being, quote-unquote, radicalized. I mean, come on, we could say you being radicalized. You calling for the bombing where you know it's going to be innocent civilians as retaliation for this one man's act. You want to go, even though this is an American now, this American. So now what? You want to punish people in what? Afghanistan? Punish people in Afghanistan? You say you want to punish ISIS. But that's kind of hard to believe when you cut a path for ISIS to rise. When you took out Saddam, when you took out Gaddafi, as you trying to take out Assad. I read that Hillary Clinton, the Pentagon, had argued to President Obama that if you believe Hillary Clinton go along with regime change in Libya, that terrorist groups and, you know, are going to take over in those countries. We're going to see all the chaos that we see right now. And apparently Hillary Clinton won. I heard, you know, she's not one to argue with. She knows how to get her way. Behind closed doors, she is not the smiling grandma and all of that. She's vicious. I've heard her being described as a bully. But none of that, you know, so any of the surviving Africans who were slaughtered by the Islamic terrorists that they used, and why is anybody talking about that? Now, y'all know them dudes was yelling Allah Akbar and you know, they little jihadist calls and what have you as they was murdering Gaddafi. Those were Islamic terrorists. Assisted by who? What is the U.S. State Department and the CIA doing working with ISIS, Al-Qaeda, and these other groups that you say are terrorists? They certainly looked apart to me, using them to topple secular governments. See, you know, this whole thing, all the TV shows and so-called news outlets, man, all this is political theater. No journalists are really asking these hard questions. About the hardest questions that'll be asked to Hillary Clinton is by people on Fox News, because the people who fund Fox News really don't like and never have liked the Clintons, because, you know, the Clintons have beat them on the white supremacist chessboard to be more powerful white supremacists than them. White supremacists are competitive people. They're competitive among themselves to see who's the biggest, baddest white supremacist on the planet. Who's the shot caller? That's what that is. But when it comes to killing 9 white people, they are united. They are united. You won't hear anything different coming from Hillary Clinton than you hear coming from the right wing. She's giving speeches to young people at the John McCain Institute. Right now, he's calling for more troops. He's blaming Obama by saying because you reduced the troops in wherever he reduced the troops, Iraq. But the guys from Afghanistan, you know, whatever, John McCain. We know that you in the pockets of the Saudis who gave your nonprofit McCain Institute a $1 million donation, and you always has voted to get their, you know, and influence the State Department to approve the weapon deals to them, and some were approved under Hillary as well. She's given speeches at the McCain Institute. So you're not really going to see any difference. These people ain't interested in solving the problem. And then, you know, there is, again, why did the SWAT team take so long to respond? What was the holdup? I need to see those logs for that morning. Those communication logs, the dispatch logs, where were these people? Every last single one of them should have been out. Different parts of the city, I guess, kicking in the doors of defenseless Americans over nonviolent drug allegations. And they just couldn't leave as they was, you know, handcuffing everybody. And it just took them three hours to, you know, get back and then deploy to an active shooting scene. Don't mean to sound conspiratorial, but hell, conspiracies happen for a reason. The word came, somebody invented that word for a reason. Government uses the word all the time. But these are questions that logical questions, in my opinion. Maybe you might think I'm not being logical, but it doesn't seem logical to me that it takes up to 3 hours for a SWAT unit to arrive. The more casualties, the bigger the tragedy, the louder the calls for retaliation. Against who? Against who? No change in the course whatsoever. No talk about foreign policy and saying, well, maybe we need to stop bombing all these different people and all these civilians are being killed and what have you. Maybe, you know, it's time for America to stop terrorizing the world on behalf of corporations and white nations, because, you know, I don't see any African nations that's really benefiting from the UN or the United Nations or NATO, or I know, you know, that's a regional alliance or whatnot, but, you know, I don't see them, except for maybe AFROCOM, but I think that's all the United States. I don't think any African nations are officially on the books part of AFROCOM. But you better believe, you know, the United States is having its way in Africa because of weak leadership. Butter biscuits and slave passes will recruit you a whole lot of Benedict Arnolds. So anyway, I don't know where to start. Also, now I didn't put this in the write-up, but we had a interview discussion with Jamila Horton about the recent Miss USA. I think it's Miss USA or Miss America, whichever one Donald Trump owns. And the black 26-year-old woman, officer in the military, and her comments during that pageant and saying that she approves of women in combat and that women are just as strong as men, even though we know that that's not true. That's not true. Are there some women who are stronger than some men? Yes. But when we're talking about people who train for hand-to-hand combat, train for physical endurance, just biologically, we know women are not as strong as men. Right. So I said, I predicted during that program, and it was happening while I was saying it, but there was a bill that had been made part of this latest defense spending bill, but a bill attached to that whole thing to require women to sign up for the draft. Your daughters, once they turn 18, they are going to be required to sign up for the draft. No voluntary basis, no voluntary thing. If you a woman and you believe you just as strong as a man and you want to be seen as equal with a man on in this regard, you know, you had the option to volunteer for the draft and we'll put you in the pool. No, it's going to be mandatory that all women, once they turn 18, just like males, will be required to sign up for the draft. And there are criminal penalties, too, if you don't. There are criminal penalties if you don't. How strong they enforce that, I can't speak to that right now. But that bill just passed the Senate. Now, I'm not sure if it was initiated in the Senate and it has to still get House approval. But some people have said President Obama is against the drafting, requiring women to be in the draft. And Hillary Clinton is for it. But will Obama actually veto such a huge defense spending bill just because of his position against requiring women? He still can sign it. And it'll be law because he'd be like, well, I'm against this, but this is more important. And so I'm going to vote for the overall package. I'm going to go ahead and sign it into law. But I'm stating that in this, what do they call them when they issue some kind of statement? It was a big thing made about signing statement or something when they sign something into law. But I'm against drafting women, but I'm going to sign this whole package into law, including that. I think he would sign it rather than veto the whole bill. Well, I predicted that was coming. And apparently they quietly was debating this because I didn't, at least it wasn't being reported by mainstream media. I didn't see any reports on it. It didn't trigger any keywords I got out and give me a hint that they were actually debating this. But we have been talking about on this program and other programs on Black Talk Radio Network of this being a strong possibility for a number of reasons. They're running out of white boys for cannon fodder. Many of them coming back so messed up. You know what I'm saying? The ones that do survive, they casualties of war, still end up homeless or on drugs, or majority of them in prison. I shouldn't say a majority, about 750,000, I believe, is the estimate I made about 6 or 7 months ago when I looked at the data. So now, you know, they just setting it up for the future, for 10 years down the road, 20 years down the road, 30 years. See, because they plan out like that. They plan ahead. And they know at this rate, ain't enough, I guess ain't enough, and that's a good thing, black men joining. And they're not joining as combat troops if they are joining. So we got to open this up to women in general. Let them be cannon fodder and whatnot. So, yeah, that's coming down the pipe. And these are things, whether you agree with politics or you think it's a waste of your time or not, that affect you. Whether you participate or not, whether you vote or not. These are the things that affect. We at least need to be paying attention. Because now, if this becomes law, if this gets signed into law, what you gonna do? How are you going to advise your daughters when they turn 18 or the ones that's already over 18? How are you going to advise them? Are you going to be prepared to pay for lawyers and all of that if they decide to exercise their conscience or moral beliefs or what have you, religious beliefs, pull a Muhammad Ali and say, hell no, I won't go. Those people over there ain't never called me nigger. And, you know, those people over there ain't the ones enslaving me today, shooting me down in the streets, hitting me over the head, boiling me to death in their jails. It's going to affect us, man. Because some psycho, somebody who hates women, pushed this bill and probably pushed it under the guise of equality. Then we use all this language of equality around it and ignoring the physiology of it all, the biology of it all. Facts that you can't change, you know, unless you're going to allow some of these women to shoot up with steroids and whatnot. But we're going to ignore those facts and we're going to put these women in combat. That's crazy. That's crazy. I could see women like in combat fighter jet roles and UH-60s flying helicopters, and those are combat positions, but ground troops, no. Come on, no. But why would you want to send your daughters to war for something that ain't benefiting you if you black, non-white in this country? All right, so I'm going to take a station identification break, hit the phone lines. Just so much to consider. On the other side, again, yeah, we'll hit the phone lines. The telephone number for, I didn't even open up the conference line. I apologize for that. I'll go ahead and do that. But the conference line number is 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032-pound. And hit *6 to comment on air. We'll be back on the other side.
The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio, new black media for the new millennium.
And welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. Go to the phone lines. Caller, your mic is unmuted. Go ahead with your question or comment.
Hey, how you doing, Brother Scotty?
I'm surviving.
Yes, sir. Me too, man. Just when I hear your passion, man, when, you know, and you just think so logically, you know, it really impresses me, man. And I'm very proud of you, brother. And I appreciate everything you do, man, for us, man.
Well, I appreciate the encouragement, the words of encouragement. They mean a lot.
Yes, sir, man. I'm just wondering, because I was speaking to a couple of my uncles, you know, the other night, literally, and I was telling them about the, you know, the draft, you know, them putting women, making them have to sign up for the draft. And the first thing they said, man, ain't no draft. And I know me and you are pretty close in age. You're a little older than me, but we're pretty close in age. But the draft hasn't been since, man. I mean, when we were probably turned 18, I think we had to sign up to, you know, when you vote, I think, what they call it, selective service.
Or and a like driver's that. License, I believe, as well, when you go to get a driver's license if you're a draft age. But I registered through the post office.
Yeah, me too. And, but why, I mean, I'm wondering why. Why are we even speaking? Why are they talking? That's telling you everything. Why are they even discussing this on the House floor? about entering, especially women, into no country in the history of the world has ever put their women on the front line.
Well, there's some talk that Israel may have, but I think that's more hype than actual fact. You know, if they put one or two, I'm not sure, but I think Israel does have female combat troops.
I didn't know that. Okay.
I know they are forced and they are included in the Israeli draft. So, again, you know, maybe they trying to be like Israel.
It's just shocking. Why are we even discussing this? Why is this even a topic? Why are they even discussing this on the Senate floor about draft? You know, I mean, it's like, damn, they like telling us that something's coming. And they need every able body, I guess.
Right.
I don't know. It's just,
that's the logical conclusion.
That's very troubling, man.
If you look at the casualties, just the U.S. casualties alone, not, you know, the civilian casualties of these non-white nations, which are far, you know, exceeding any amount of so-called Americans have been killed. But we just look at the quote-unquote American casualties, man, over the last, just since 2001, we ain't even got to go back to, you know, the little skirmishes like Panama or Grenada or Vietnam is the last major war. You know, it wasn't too many casualties from the Gulf War and whatnot, but since Bush, just 2001, man, there have been a huge number of casualties, man. Their army ain't even a million strong, man, and let me put it this way, a lot of people want to cheer for war, but it seems that a lot of people don't want to go to war because they ain't signing up. The people that are signing up are forced to because of socioeconomic conditions like I was.
Yeah.
And then even us are finding new ways to do without. We're not allowing our children. We're giving them all the information, and not that we can stop them if they wanted to, but we're providing them with the accurate information so they can make a better informed decision. And I believe a lot of them are making the right decision and not joining.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Well, that's all I wanted to say, man. I'm perplexed, man. I just don't understand. I mean, they telling us everything, man. It's crazy, man. But yeah, man, I just want to thank you, man, brother, and I look forward to listening to the news every day, man. You my news source. You my CNN or whatever, all them others. And I appreciate you, Scotty, man. I love you very much, brother. Take care, man.
Thank you. Thank you. One love.
All right.
Q&A is cleared.
Yeah, the draft does exist. I mean, if they registering you for the draft, then the draft does exist, and now they're talking about expanding it. They just have not had to activate the draft because, you know, you got enough poor people who are willing to gamble and take the chance of going in the military and doing 4 years and getting a GI Bill and getting out. Some may stay longer to, you know, build up their bank account and then get out. You know what I'm saying? But a lot of people are not enough people doing that for the wars that they apparently got planned for the future. Again, a lot of casualties. They got a lot of casualties, you know, and then it doesn't even have to always be physical in nature or injury. We got a lot of traumatized people, you know, with that post-traumatic stress disorder and what have you. So I'm just saying beware. That's what's coming. That's why they crowning a black U.S. Miss America with a pro-military background, who ain't, you know, who is good at delivering them propaganda lines, you know, along gender lines. So, you know, women are just as strong as men. I applaud the Pentagon for its decision to allow women in combat roles and all of that. Now, I do believe Cuba does allow women to serve in its defense forces, but they're defense forces. Everybody has to participate in defense of the island, from what I've been told of people who's been there. And I'm not really against, you know, women serving in the military. I'm not. I mean, I served with women, obviously. You know, I wasn't in a combat all-male unit or anything like that. But, yeah, I served with women. So I ain't got – but it's just certain areas of warfare that they should not be involved in. And especially not for this crooked-ass government spreading global slavery and racism all around the world, man. Come on. And see, that's why we got celebrity figureheads, as Dave call them. I call them proxy racists, but they're propaganda tools, like Oprah Winfrey coming out today endorsing Hillary Clinton. This is Hillary Clinton, right? We're talking about the first person to ever run for president while under a criminal FBI investigation, without even getting into all the details and the laws that she broke, and she has, but there's been plenty of information published about that. And now WikiLeaks and Russia is talking about releasing the stuff that they stole off of her server, and what, which proves that she violated the Espionage Act. The Espionage Act does not require that you get paid by a foreign government to provide them with secrets. No, it also refers to willful, gross negligence. Just, I don't give a damn. I'm too powerful. Nobody gonna tell me what to do. I answer to no one. I'm setting up this damn server off of the secure government system. You have, you know, black folks, celebrity types endorsing this woman. What does that say to our youth about her, about Oprah, that she for sale? This is a billionaire. This is a billionaire. Don't think that she think like regular black folks. Yeah, she a TV personality, and she's good at showing empathy and whatnot, but you don't back people who have caused so much harm and damage to the black community that you claim you come from and you love and all this and that. You don't back a person who caused tens of thousands, we'll never probably get a final body count, but tens of thousands of black people, Africans who had Libyan citizenship, and not to mention the Africans who came there because he gave them jobs, and you side with some Arab jihadists out there just targeting black folks. The videos are over YouTube. How the hell do you ignore stuff like that? You can't have no morals that you would endorse a monster. You can't. And we can't allow these people to be held up as success stories in our community, to be emulated by our youth. It'd be different if they show some kind of moral clarity and judgment, but obviously they don't. It's all about making friends with the presumed nominee. It's business. It's their cause. White, like I heard Mr. Fuller say, white supremacy is a business. So she making, and others, not just her, are just hedging their bet that Hillary is going to be the next white supremacist in charge. And she probably, you know, I don't know if to call Hillary Clinton a tool of the system, or if she is one of the most powerful, her and Bill together, two of the most powerful racist white supremacists on the planet since they acquired all this wealth, since they established the Clinton Foundation. How do you explain that to our children? How do you, you know, tell your children to always tell the truth? That if you tell the truth is on your side, therefore God is on your side. To always treat people with respect and dignity. And that we must find a solution for all this violence in the world. And then you turn around and endorse a Hillary Clinton, or you invite a Barack Obama in to give the commencement speech at your school, where he gonna talk about black folks got to work twice as hard and all that if we want to, you know, move on up on the plantation. That's really what he's saying. Got to sell out your morals. He ain't saying that to them, but his actions speak louder than words. See, these kids ain't stupid. It's a reason why 40 and under crowd in huge numbers is not going for Hillary Clinton. Even though Bernie Sanders, his sheet is not clean. It got some red on it and stuff, but at least on appearances, he ain't a bigger killer as the person known as Hillary Clinton. It just angers me, man. It just peeves me. Do you think Oprah Winfrey, let's say my sister, let's say, I don't know, she went to college for something, she got a master's degree, but she want to be Oprah's Gail or apply to be her personal assistant or whatnot. But then she get hemmed up on let's say some nonviolent drug charges, and she ain't even been to trial yet, and she's saying that she's innocent and the cop planted the drugs and all of that, and her trial won't be, you know, until 6 months later down the road whenever she got a date, but she's innocent until proven guilty. That, you know, that's how we think. Do you think, oh, and she put in a resume and she disclosed that during the sit down interview with Oprah to be her personal assistant and said, Oprah, you know, I want to be upfront and honest with you. I am facing these drug charges. I didn't do it. I'm going to let you know I didn't violate any laws. The cops set me up. And what do you think Oprah Winfrey would hire that person as their personal assistant? Huh? Would they? But you will endorse a person to become the next CEO of USA Inc. with a track record like this woman who is facing a criminal prosecution. Look, if there was nothing there, this thing would have been over with. There are battles being fought behind scenes right now between the white supremacist camps. The right wing and the so-called, we'll say the neoconservatives and the neoliberals. There's battles going on behind the scenes. People in the Obama administration and the Democratic Party, everyone who's endorsed, they fighting for the cover-up. Did y'all know Hillary Clinton has moved her campaign headquarters to the same building as the Justice Department? Come on, man. I couldn't believe it when I read that, but it's true. Same place where the woman works, Loretta Lynch, that's going to decide whether she gets indicted or not. Don't y'all think that's a little strange going on there? That the appearance, just the optics of that don't even look right. She don't care. She Hillary, she don't care. Just like she gave that interview and said, you know, she was asked, if you become president and Bill Clinton, will he be forced to step down as the leader of the Clinton Foundation to resign his position until you're out of office? And she was like, no. She was like, no, we'll get to that bridge when we get to it. And what, like, the whole concept of impropriety didn't even come to her. The appearance of conflict of interest and having a man who's soliciting donations from all over the world, from foreign countries with business before your administration, and you don't think that it's appropriate that while he acts as first man of the United States that he resigned that position temporarily? That's how arrogant she is with it, man. That's why they got evidence on her like that. These people, arrogance, was to the point that they made huge mistakes and didn't want to listen to the advice. They were called giving advice by people in her close circle. Cheryl Mills, the black woman, the black attorney who may take the fall for her ultimately. That's what it looked like. They could possibly be setting up that scenario for her to take the fall for Hillary. But she told Hillary to get on state. The other one, Huma, Anthony Weiner's wife, they told her. She didn't listen. But this isn't fabrications of the right wing. The State Department IG report even says she violated the rules that which was meant to bring the department into compliance with Federal Records Act. This is federal law. To break it is criminal. So, people, I don't have to tell the conscious folks out there for a long time. You know, you've been saying that athletes and entertainers should not be the role models of our children. But I tell you what, I would ask I would point to Cam Newton, who's an athlete and a self-proclaimed entertainer. I would hold him up as a role model any day of the week. I would. To my grandsons, because of how this man is involved in the Charlotte community, especially helping children and you know, just his values and whatnot, his real values, not the fake ones about, you know, people attacked him because he had a baby out of wedlock. Millions of people do. But he's a role model. Hillary Clinton is not a role model. Barack Obama is not a role model. Oprah Winfrey is not a role model. Lil Wayne, who also endorsed Hillary Clinton, is not a role model. I'm wondering if this guy gonna be dead in the next year or two after he done had a couple of seizures from still abusing cough syrup, drinking so-called lean alcohol or soda mixed with cough syrup or something. He done had two seizures the other day, had to rush him to the hospital. He endorsed Hillary Clinton. And the Clinton people sought these people out for endorsements. Nicki Minaj, these aren't role models, people. We're talking about a person running for CEO of USA Inc. You ought to be serious about investigating that person before you hand them an endorsement. But this is the stupid-ass reason, and I'm sorry to be blunt with it, that Oprah Winfrey gave. This is why I'm telling you this woman is full of BS. Regardless of your politics, you cannot be a woman in the world and not see that this is a monumental time for women. Breaking the ceiling. Talk about breaking the ceiling. Okay? Now, bell hooks, the feminist author, writer, lecturer, educator, bell hooks, she came out months ago and said, you know, I'm all about, you know, supporting women for president, but the woman has to matter, you know. And she can't get down with Hillary Clinton and cited all the logical reasons as why. If you any kind of person who believes in respecting human rights, if you believe in justice, looking at that, you can't logically do it unless you are of the kindred spirit. You're just as corrupt. You may not be out here ordering drones to bomb wedding parties as the Clintons and their aides was reportedly discussing on the unsecured, sending emails on Blackberries. This woman, I'm telling you, man, she in some serious trouble if justice wins out in terms of applying the law equally. People have gone to jail for less. But you know, come on, that doesn't matter if you're a woman anywhere in the world when you got all these women and children who are victims of these drone attacks, victims of U.S. foreign policy, and Hillary Clinton being one of the main war hawks of the past 20 years. Brags about being mentored by Henry Kissinger and has his endorsement, and this man got millions of deaths on his tab. This man authored the National Security Memo 200, which called for using food as a weapon against third world nations to protect their protect the U.S. security, because they saw a rising population of non-white people as a U.S. security threat. And it's just sick and sad that they are now going to use all these dead and injured black and brown bodies as justification to go and kill more non-white people around the world, even though this dude grew up right here. And he doesn't need to be radicalized by any jihadists that you might be working with or funding in the Middle East any damn way. He don't need to. All he needs to do is read the Human Rights Watch, any of these international organizations that keep up with these casualties, estimates, and what have you. Person can be radicalized by that right there. All they got to do is lose a family member. Does anybody know if, since his father immigrated from Afghanistan? I'm sure all of them didn't come. I don't think they are. I don't think the CIA is in the business of bringing over extended family members when you've been a good CIA asset, as his father is alleged to be, have been, and why they're here in the United States anyway. He had to been working for them a long time, because this guy was born here in the U.S. But anyway, did any of these guys, their cousins or second cousins or third cousins or grandparents, did any of them, you know, become casualties of any drone attacks in Afghanistan or bombings or, you know, violence? Because, you know, to listen to the CIA director today, this morning when I got up, I think it was on C-SPAN, but he was talking about the internet and these propaganda outlets spewing this radical is, I'm paraphrasing what he said, but that's basically what he was saying, that, you know, people like Mateen is being recruited and radicalized over the internet, and we got to do something to clamp down on the internet. Look, y'all spending hundreds of millions on cyber warfare, why can't y'all take down these people? You know, why you need to restrict the internet, and you know, which really is going to be used to target people like us. Because I'm pro Black Lives Matter movement. I call out police terrorism and all of that. I point to the daily murders and deaths of Black people and brown people and non-white people and occasionally even poor white people. I point all that out. Are you saying, Mr. CIA man, that I'm radicalizing people? I'm just reporting the doggone news without a filter, without your filter, without reading from your script and your teleprompters. So, I feel threatened. I feel terrorized when I hear high-level officials, especially one like him who has been connected to torture. I feel threatened when he says stuff like that out in the open in congressional hearings and what have you. All media is propaganda. All media, no matter who's producing it, the truth can be used as propaganda. All propaganda is media that influences a person's mind. I wouldn't necessarily call a technical manual that's teaching you how to put together something as propaganda, but books that have ideologies, whether they're fact, you know, biographies or fiction, or all that is propaganda, has an ability to influence the reader or the listener or the viewer or what have you. So, you know, they're talking about targeting alternative media. Just very sad time continues the onslaught of white racism, slavery, and white supremacy. It just marches on. But I am encouraged by the young people out there, younger than me, man. Y'all have shown a conscious awakening on a level that I did not see when I was in the United States military as a 20-year-old. I joined when I was 20, got out when I was 26. We didn't have that level of consciousness. There was an awakening starting, you know, getting back to the identifying with the African roots through hip hop and what have you. And Public Enemy was coming out, and we were starting to hear Malcolm X regurgitated to us and the films and what have you. So, you know, I would say we had our little conscious awakening, but we didn't really organize in the numbers against police terrorism like I have been seeing in the past couple of years with this new generation, whatever label they have put on them. So I'm proud of y'all, man. I'm proud of y'all. Just keep resisting. And I'll do what I can to keep, you know, reporting the news in an unbiased fashion. So Tando Radio Show will be on air coming up at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. We'll go ahead and end it here. I'm not sure, but I believe Blacks in Business Radio will be coming on at 8 tonight as well. And then I believe that will conclude tonight's live broadcasting. But thank you again to the caller. Your words of affirmation were greatly appreciated. Thank you to those who are donors to our Black Talk Media Matters funding campaign, crowdfunding campaign. Just mailed a couple of extra large shirts out, dude, for the, again, those who wanted the extra large Black Radio Station Matter t-shirts. I got some of those in stock, and so I can get them out to you within 24 hours on a weekday. So we got those, but all the contributions, no matter how big or small, are greatly appreciated, because we wouldn't be on the air, because corporate media is not going to support this kind of programming. All right, they're not going to do it, and you know, we just won't be influenced by outside forces. And so for us to be able to maintain our independence, we have to be independently funded by the people. All right, till tomorrow, recognize the fact that you live behind enemy lines. It's a battlefield out there. You got to develop battlefield skills, battlefield awareness. You got to work on your reaction. You got to play out scenarios in your mind. No matter where you go, you can't let your guard down. That's just a sad fact in this world today. Things can happen at any moment. So just keep your guard up. Be safe, but keep resisting behind these enemy lines. Peace and blessings to all.